Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey folks, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode 90 for May 26th, 2015. I'm your host, Jack. I'm going to guide you through all this magical world of connectivity, servers, switches, fiber optics, network cables, and all things that make our job so wonderful and mysterious. Folks, this show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. We're also now syndicated, as you know, across Stitcher, and that's stitcher.com, where you can pick up this podcast, technology podcast, and many other genres. Download the app today on your smartphone, either iOS or Android. It's available. Download it right now. Don't wait. Unless you're driving, maybe then wait till you get to your destination and then download the app on your smartphone. Folks, if you have a few minutes, and I hope you do, please check out my website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave me a voice message at 724-701-0550. Once again, that's 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, I would love to hear from you. And you can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Once again, that's jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter so when you know when these shows are posted, and you'll be notified right away. And you can follow me at Technoman, T-E-C-H-N-O-M-A-N. Tonight, if I can find it here, we're going to start off tonight with a voicemail here from David. And David's asking about some error messages getting on his server. So hopefully you'll listen to the show, David, and I'm going to give you some free advice tonight. I know you wanted me to call you there, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and make sure I cut this off before we get to David's phone number. It's just a very short question, and then we're going to talk about this just a little bit. Let's go ahead and get started.
Hey, hi, this message is for Jack. My name is David. I've used your online tutorial videos for quite some time and really helpful. I wonder if you can kind of help me out. I've been trying to resolve an issue. It looks like the server 2008 that I have running at my business recently was showing errors on the Active Directory domain services as well as the DNS services sector. I'm getting an error code of 1126 on the Active Directory domain services. I don't know how to figure out how to resolve that. And then on the DNS server, it's giving me errors as well, but it's also saying could not be contacted. There was access was denied. Would you like to edit anyways, etc. Anyway, I'm just trying to figure out how I could go about resolving this issue. So if you can get back to me, I'd appreciate it. My time.
Okay, so like I said, out of keeping David's phone number secure and safe away from everybody out there, I know you guys want to call David. We are just going to cut that off there. So David's having an Active Directory issue. And I'm going to do a quick search here as I'm talking. Active Directory error 112.6, he was saying, or 1126. And we're going to try to locate that. But in the meantime, what I was looking for first was the first thing I could tell David is just hearing the question there. And, you know, there's not a ton of information in there, but there's enough for me to pick up. Something that I did find was error code 1112 or 112, 112. What seems to be happening there, David, and the permissions thing, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but the actual error code itself, something you might want to check, is a disk full error. Now, if your disk is full, your DNS is going to stop communicating. And the reason that happens is because we know if we have dynamic DNS setup, in other words, we're giving addresses out via DHCP, When a computer receives a new address, DNS also has to update itself. And it updates itself very basically, and the way it updates itself is dynamically. So it sees that new IP address and it says, oh, now that's on Fred's computer, tomorrow it's on Susan's computer, and it will update the DNS record based on where the IP address is. Now, if your disk is full, you're going to get that error stating that DNS cannot function, or it's going to actually, well, actually, it shouldn't, DNS should not stop as a service, but it can't write any more data to the disk because it thinks the disk is full. So that's the first possibility of something I wanted to go over with you there, David. Now, the next thing, just doing a quick search here for Active Directory error codes, I don't see that error code anywhere with your permissions error that you were having. And I'm kind of reading the transcript along here as I'm talking. But ordinarily, what we find out you need to do is, one, you need to make sure that the server is, logged in, at least as an administrator. The administrative account should be have access to the Active Directory. The administrative account should be overseeing your DNS, naturally. So all those things do have permissions. So when it says there was access that was denied, would you like to anyway, etc. I would like to know what the anyway is, maybe, if you can give me some more information about that. It may help us resolve your issue. I'm glad you've been watching the online tutorials, folks. If you haven't been watching those, you can go over to YouTube and just search for 42 Technoman and look up my Windows Server videos. There's a few out there. They do a very good job at teaching you about DNS, DHCP. I think I have a video out there about the Active Directory structure with OUs. Just a nice way to get you kind of acquainted. And if you want to go deeper into that, naturally take one of my online courses and you can find out. I put a link with every show and you can find the online courses. If you just go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com and click the little pull down menu on top for online courses, you can go in there and sign up for the Windows Server 2008 or 2012 course and learn even more about those issues, about that stuff. So that's something that you want to look into. So, David, the DNS services sector, I'm not sure what that is exactly. I'm going to try to do a quick Google search here as I'm talking again to try to see if I can pull up anything and any information on that. I did find something here says sector risk management strategy. So that may be something. Of course, this looks like a mighty big PDF, and I'm not going to read the whole thing here. Yeah, that's just not what we want to do here. So let's go back. I'm just kind of digging around here. It's talking a little bit about the DNS IT risk sector risk assessment, but these are all looking at like how do you can look at the security and stuff of your DNS. That's not what you're looking for. So on that particular one itself, on the DNS sector, again, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that the error code could be 112, and I'm not sure where the 6 comes in, so I can't find that for you. Anyway, if you can't get the issue resolved, here's one thing you can try. You can try to set up a different server, or if you have another server, set DNS up on that, make that your primary DNS server. Deactivate the DNS server on the primary domain controller, and then tell your primary domain controller, just go into the TCP/IP settings and say, look, the DNS server is over here now. It's no longer on the root server. And if you do that, then maybe you'll get rid of those error messages. Make sure that the new server, I would make sure that maybe it's not an Active Directory domain controller, but you could make sure that it's at least a part of that domain. So it's kind of a standard computer as a server, but we join it to the domain. So that way the domain can access the DNS records and write to that. I would try that out. As far as the Active Directory thing, I hope you have a really, really good backup. You may be having some deeper issues with this server. And again, I don't know. I don't think you said what operating system you're running. I don't see it in this message anywhere. I don't really see it in here, which either 2008 or 2012. So I would like to know maybe that to help you out a little bit. So those are just a couple things. You're talking about kind of helping you out on the intranet to resolve an issue. Dig around, do a lot of Google searches out there and see what you can find. And maybe You're going to find the answer. But David, thank you so much for the voice message. And as I tell everybody out there, the voice messages helps to move a podcast along, because then you don't just have to sit there and listen to my voice. You get to listen to other folks. All right. So the next thing, and we talked about this a while back, and it just came up to bite us in the butt in our server room. And what I'm talking about, folks, is servers and heat. They don't mix. If it's the dead of winter, you're like, well, I got to warm my servers up. They're a little bit cold. It just doesn't mix. Your server room should stay at a constant temperature. And we like to keep ours at 65. If you keep your server room at a constant 65, the servers will run a little bit warmer. They're going to run about 70 degrees. Because remember, the servers are generating heat, so you're trying to cool it to maintain a lower base temperature. Well, when we walked into our server room today, all we heard was a bunch of squealing. And no, there wasn't squirrels or chipmunks in there. We thought maybe a mouse got stuck in a server rack. No, it was the actual servers were actually squealing. The fans themselves were on a high speed, high RPM run, and they were just banging away. So my work partner walked over, and he checked the thermostat on the wall, and it said the air conditioner unit was off. We suspect it was off maybe for the whole holiday weekend. And the server room itself was at 100 degrees. Now, if you take a rack full of servers and you run them at 100 degrees, even for a few hours, what happened and what tends to happen is three of our servers actually hit their peak on the temperature. So the temperature got to a certain peak and the servers actually shut themselves down to protect themselves. So that's a pretty smart piece of machinery. And those three were all Dell servers. So they're set up to hit a certain temperature and they just shut themselves down. So we had to restart them. But through the course of the day today, we found that we did actually lose the main climate control of our server room. And this is a big deal. I mean, this is a big, big issue. It's such a big issue, we're actually considering, until we get a new unit, unplugging all the servers and wheeling the rack to a different part of our building that actually has air conditioning and rewiring the rack to keep the servers protected. Folks, remember, and I told everybody at work today, those servers are more important to keep cool than to keep me cool or to keep my partner cool or any of our workers. And the reason we want to keep them cool is to keep them functioning and operational. And I had a maintenance guy come to me today, and he said, well, wait, Jack, don't these servers notify you if they're getting too hot? And I said, they don't. Now, here's a tip for you this week, is you can buy, and we didn't, I don't even know, most times I've looked them up, they're pretty expensive. You can buy heat sensors that go on the servers, and the heat sensors will monitor the temperature of the servers, and if something goes wrong, they will either send you a text message or send you an email. I prefer a text message because I don't check my email all day over and over and over, but I do get a text message blast occasionally, so I do, and I would rather have a text message. Now, with that said, it's very, very simple and very easy to set that stuff up. All you do is you purchase it, you set it up, and it basically monitors the temperature of the actual server. It could either monitor a server case or it can monitor the processors themselves. What we are looking for is just something simple enough, and maybe you folks out there can tell me if there is such a thing, just to monitor the room temperature. Because if I know the room is getting up to 80 degrees, I know I have a problem. Either the air conditioner unit's out, the servers are being overused and overutilized, and it could possibly cause a major destruction in your network, in your servers. So that's something we want to look for, and we want that unit to be able to notify us via text message. So just drop us a quick text, let us know that something's going down, so one of us can get in there and see if we can do something. So the override that we had to do today was actually open our server room doors, and we put a fan in, and we're actually drawing cool air, as cool as it can be here in the Pittsburgh region. We're drawing cool air in from the outside. So we're getting cool air coming through some outside windows as much as we can. And we got the temperature of the servers. Now remember, this morning they were actually at 100 degrees and they shut down. The cupboards in that room were actually hot to the touch. So I'm talking major meltdown. It would be like a nuclear reactor with no coolant. That's how hot it was in this room. So the servers, as I said, was shut down at that point. We got the temperature back and we got it stabilized around 78, 79 degrees Celsius. So we figure we're about at 83 degrees, somewhere around there. If my calculations are a little bit off, forgive me. But we figure we're about 83 degrees, which they can operate. And I told my work partner, I said, look, the main thing we're looking at here, something you have to think about, is that the servers themselves, the utilization in our business and education drops drastically after 3 o'clock, right? Once your student body leaves, and at 4 o'clock, once all your staff leaves, the servers then kind of shut, you know, kind of die down on the processor power because nobody's banging away at them. And they kind of start relaxing a little bit. So I feel that the outside temperature this evening, it's getting colder here in Pittsburgh. It's getting ready to storm. So I'm trying to get through my podcast. So what's going to happen is that cool air is going to blow in there and hopefully get them servers down to, it would be nice to see them at 69 degrees Celsius. If we can get in that range or 70 degree Fahrenheit, somewhere in that range, I think we would be really, really well off and they're going to be just fine. So I don't know yet if we're going to move those servers, but what I really wanted to stress tonight on this podcast was, you know, the room temperature and your ventilation of your server room, your climate control of your server room is just as drastically as important as those servers themselves. And what's even more drastically important than them servers themselves is the data that we contain on them servers, right? The data is what we worry about. So make sure you're running good backups. We talked about that 100 times in this show. Keep your backups going all the time and make sure, and you know, check them every now and then. We go in and we look at our backups and we make sure we're getting good backups. So we do a little check, spot check, make sure people's files are backing up, make sure we're getting everything, making sure our databases are backing up. We don't back up our VMs. I would like to, but I'm kind of curious about how much room that's going to take up on the backup servers. So we may actually implement something this summer where we're going to be backing up our VMs and back them up to a separate server in another building that we have just to have those virtual machines somewhere else in case of a big disaster like we're facing right now and we're trying to fight through. So that's the key element to be able to do that. So anyway, the big thing is monitor your servers, be very careful with them, check them every now and then, see how they're doing, you know, because they're not going to tell us. A server either does one or two things. It's either number one, right, ones and zeros. It's either number one, it's running and it's working fine, or zero, it shuts off and it's no longer working. So those are the two things that we have to worry about, that we have to deal with each and every day of our networking existence. And, you know, working with everything in that server room. So, folks, other than that, I wanted to stress about last Tuesday again. I missed a Tuesday night. There was a lot going on here at the household. And, you know, sometimes family matters. You have to deal with that. And sometimes you do miss a podcast or two. But I am glad that all you folks are still checking in with me here, still subscribed. You're still listening to the shows. And I really appreciate you being here. Because without you, I mean, hey, granted, a podcaster is nothing. It's just somebody that likes to sit and talk to themselves. My wife says sometimes, you're like a narcissist. You want to just listen to yourself or watch your own videos. And that's not true because we have to edit our work. We have to look at our videos to make sure they're clear and everything's fine on them. So anyway, that's that. I mean, it is what it is. And I hope everything's working for you. Hey, folks, if you're in education, I want to hear from you. I want to get some feedback from the educators out there. Not just educators, technology education folks, even on the college level, I want to know if you're listening to the show because I want to get your feedback on what you're doing in education. And what I mean by that, we're looking for people in education and offices. I guess we can listen for some offices out there to let me know. Stuff like, is, you know, Microsoft Office still the main Office package that business is using? Is your school still using Office or did you switch over to Chrome, Google Apps or Chrome browser? And I want to also know What kind of servers your schools are running out there? Anybody out there still running Windows Server 2003, or did you ditch it because you got to upgrade? This is the kind of feedback I want to start getting, and you can just email me. Just drop me an email and say, Jack, we're doing this, or Jack, we're doing that. I want to know, is there any business out there using Google Apps? I know you have to pay for it. Education, we don't pay for it, but I know you do. And let me know what applications you're using. Schools out there, let me know, do you use more remote services like cloud-based services, and business? Do you use cloud-based services? Should we be talking about that? Or is everything in-house? Do you have your own Exchange server? Do you have your email in your house or in your business? I kind of want to know about that stuff. What are you using for email? And the reason I want to know this stuff, I'm kind of putting a poll together and saying, look, this is what you guys want to hear or talk about, and we can explore it a little bit more, because cloud-based services are huge. And we're talking about moving our information system in our school to the cloud. We have a company we deal with. It's our vendor. They're a registered vendor. We have agreements signed with them so they can have our data, and they're not going to look at it or do anything with it. And they want to host our application. Now, the only issue I have with when you host an application on the internet is if your internet link goes down, then you lose that application for that period of time. The way we have it set now, if we have our information system in our network and the internet goes down, all the staff can still work. So there's pros and cons to everything. And another one of the pros, I would say, was it a pro or a con? Another one of the pros, I would say, about letting it somebody else host it or letting somebody else worry about that service is they take care of the backups. They take care of the upgrades of the software packages. So there is a lot of benefits, but that is one drawback. Another thing I'm asking schools out there and businesses, in this day and age, do you have redundant internet lines? So by redundancy, I mean, do you have one internet provider and then another internet provider somewhere else, and the other internet provider, are you using them as your backup? And we're looking into that this summer. Because when we have an internet outage, it is huge impact on our educational system today. Because almost every app that we use in one way or another, I mean, except our office apps, but every app one way or another is hosted on the internet. All of our Chromebooks, the Google Apps is all naturally on the internet. So it needs that internet connection. So, how many cloud-based services are you using? Are you using more in-house stuff? Do you use Exchange? Do you use a web-hosted email somewhere? Give me some ideas, folks. Let me know. A lot of you know, I have a hosted DNS package for our routable DNS addresses, our internet DNSs, that come in and go out. And I also have an internal DNS server that we use for our intranet, and we point everybody to that, and everything is hunky-dory. So that is how that works. So that's just something to think about. I'd like to hear more from you. And I wish I had a longer podcast, but you know what? I'm pretty much wrapping this one up tonight. Sorry, it's a little bit shorter than normal, but, we'll get through when I finish out here about 30 minutes, so that's fair. I got a major storm pushing from Ohio. It looks like it's coming right up the coast. I can see the lightning out my window, but it's not on my house yet, so I figure I got time to finish this recording and clear it up with you folks out there. So once again, folks, remember one thing, and a lot of you have, and I can't tell you how much I do appreciate you using my Amazon link. If you go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com, deactivate your ad blocker, please, for my website, and you will see the Amazon link. Use that Amazon link when you're buying anything, from dusting, pledge, to dust rags, to car wash. Anything you buy, just use that website. Use the link at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. A small proceeds come back to the show. You know how that works. And you don't pay anything more. A lot of you have been doing that, and I really do appreciate your efforts. Bookmark it and keep it every time you use Amazon. Folks, I mentioned it in the show. So if you're not sure about Windows Server 2012, you know you want to start upgrading those 2003 machines and you're not sure how to set it all up, I got you covered, and it's very inexpensive. You can learn Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi 5.5 server from install to administration. Please sign up for one of my online courses today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Look at the online class link at the top of the page. The courses are self-paced. You watch a video, take a short 2 or 3 question quiz, and you move on to the next video. If you missed something on the quiz, watch the video again. Go back and answer the question that you weren't really sure of. Once you complete this course, I will mail your certificate in the mail. These are suitable for framing. Also, many people are copying these and putting them with their resumes, and they say they're getting results, so that's good. I always say the main thing with the resume, and we'll talk about this one night, is getting your foot in the door to get the interview, and then you sell yourself to the employer. But if you can't get past the resume part, they're never going to call you anyway. Folks, once again, you can sign up today for those courses at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, I can't tell you how pleased I am that you're here each and every week with me, and I hope you're here next Tuesday and Wednesday, I guess, to listen to a new show, and I will talk to you then. Have a great work week, and we'll see you back here. Keep those servers cool, and keep your climate control under control. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.